Good morning and welcome to the programme. Today, accusations fly in the dole over Ireland's capacity to welcome refugees. We'll debate. The first results from the census will be out later. We'll bring them to you. We'll also have news on that fine expected to be levied on AIB over the tracker scandal and Mexican drugs gangs bring their production methods to Europe. We'll hear from the agency tasked with monitoring them. The business of feeling good. Adam Maguire takes us through the eye-watering figures behind the wellness industry. Our text number is 51551. Our email address is todaycb@rte.ie or on Twitter, we are at Today with Claire. There were fractious exchanges in the Dáil yesterday between independent TD Carol Nolan and the Housing Minister Dara O'Brien over this issue of immigration. Deputy Nolan said 1,500 migrants are entering the state every month and asked if the government has examined how this will affect its capacity to meet the housing needs of citizens. She said the state's capacity is being severely undermined and warned the barely functioning immigration system needs to be brought under control. Now, in response, the Housing Minister said Deputy Nolan was effectively calling for a cap on immigration and asylum seekers and said her remarks posed a risk to social cohesion. Joining me from our Dáil studio now is Matty McGrath, independent TD for Tipperary, and Paul McCall of Fianna Fáil TD for Dublin North West. You're both welcome. Thank you for joining us this morning. Matty McGrath, you were there in the Dáil for the exchange yesterday. People will have seen that. And you took issue with Dara O'Brien's response to Carol Nolan. Why was that?
Because of the tone, the tenor, actually the condescending and indeed the finger wagging at Deputy Nolan, who was elected deputy for the rural independence for Leash Offaly, and does a great job and was very coherent and was very compassionate in her earnest question. And we're there to ask these questions, and ministers or Taoiseach are meant to reply. Not a lecture, and a kind of a, you know, literally she was attempted to be just demonised as being, you know, bordering on racism, and nothing could be further from the truth.
Mm-hmm. But that's not what Dara O'Brien said.
That was the and the finger wagging.
Listen, he raised the issue of social cohesion, and there has been, and you'll know this, an incredible response from Irish people to what's happening in Ukraine. People have been so generous, they've shown their willingness to help, and comments made by Carol Nolan, they make it sound perhaps as though those people fleeing a war are not welcome here.
Yeah, no, the Irish people, as per usual, are wonderfully welcome and are great to help all different countries and everything else, and people in need. But does that mean that if your neighbour comes and helps us here, that we give them the keys to the house, and we give them our car, and we give them our bank card? I mean, we have no... People are doing this, certainly families and communities. But the government have no plan. Just tell everyone we've opened borders here. We're like a magnet attracting people from everywhere. And then the systems can't function. Social welfare, the health, all the different systems, speech and language therapy, people are languishing on lists for 4 years. You name it. We're already in a mess. I want to see the people we bring properly looked after, proper welcome with proper services, not having too many and then not able to deal with them.
Cut so you want to see limits?
I do. Cut our cloth according to measure, as we would have to do in a household. We can't just have open borders and the teacher running over to Europe, being a goodbye every time, cheerleading to cut off the Russian gas and cheerleading to bring in with open borders. Other countries, look at a Danish MP recently, a Swedish MP, what he said. Other countries have learned the lessons here, and we're just blindly walking down, running down a cul-de-sac, and we're going to be in huge trouble. Notwithstanding the war fleeing people who've arrived here, we look after them properly, not sleeping on floors in hotels, as what we've seen with migrants from other countries, and hoteliers getting paid a fortune. It's a ham-fisted, dysfunctional system that they've landed into the government here. Pious platitudes won't put food on the table and won't look after our newcomers, as I like to call them, and look after them properly. It'll be worse in history. It's recorded in history that we brought them into inadequate services. We just left them at the will of the people. And the people are going tired of this. And I didn't even mention the housing.
OK,
crisis.
We'll get to that. We'll get to that. But I want to bring in Paul McAuliffe on that. What do you say to all of that? Because it probably does reflect how a certain cohort of people in Ireland feel about this, that we'll do our best. But really, are we doing our best to the detriment of the services that we can provide here, both to the Ukrainian people and other asylum seekers who are coming to Ireland and to the people who live here?
Well, look, Claire, I suppose Ireland is one of the few European countries where the issue of immigration is not used as a political football. And I'm really proud of that. And I think it's important that when we discuss this issue, we do exactly the opposite of what you're referencing there, is that we don't play into the hands of people that might have views that could be described as racist, or that could be used by the far right. And I'm not suggesting that Carol Nolan or the Matty McGrath were doing that. But the difficulty is that once you talk about limits, there's a hypocrisy there. Matty's saying we want to look after people well who are travelling up to a point, and after that, those people can find a home somewhere else. Mm-hmm. They can find protection and space and safety somewhere else.
Can I ask you this, though? Dara O'Brien's response yesterday, where he was jabbing his finger at Carol Nolan and talking about social cohesion, does that tell people, the people that she represents, that you're not allowed to discuss this?
No, and I think we should be allowed to discuss this issue, because I think the more we discuss it, the more we can communicate to people why we're making the decisions that we are. And it's really important. Irish people have been incredibly welcoming, both to the Ukrainian refugees, but to other groups who've migrated into Ireland. They've been hugely positive to our community, and they've really contributed. So I think that's where we need to focus on. Of course, there are resource issues. Of course, there are demands on the state as a result of doing that. But my question to Matty and to others is, what's the alternative? What happens when we reach that cap? Do we leave Ukrainian refugees fleeing a war in refugee camps in Poland? Is that the answer?
Matty?
I said that we cut our cloth according to measure. We do our best, and if we can take more than the cap of rise of 25,000-30,000, yes, if we can look after them adequately.
What about the parts of the cloth that you cut away, Matty?
I didn't interrupt you. I'm just saying
it's a debate.
That
people are allowed to interrupt each other, in fairness.
Oh, thanks for that, dear. I'll be fine. So listen, I mean, the narrative here is, don't ask a question, don't question it. 1,500 a month coming in here. We're a small country with a very limited resources. We might like to think that we're the big boys in Europe, but we're not. And look at the economy, look at the cost of living, look at the strife, look at people waiting 12 years for housing. And now we're going, that's what my worry is, that people are getting angry. They come to my clinics, I'm sure they're coming to my colleagues' clinics as well, and every other clinic, saying we're gone down the list now, we can't. So we have to be fair and be reasonable here. And we are the island of the welcomes, and the communities out there and families are doing Trojan work. But I know families that offered to the Red Cross and others, and they never even got a call back. So it's lovely for the Taoiseach and Tánaiste to administer the right statements, but there's no plan of any shape, make, or form to deal with the 1,500 a month that are coming in. And as I said, when we barely are able to manage the system ourselves, the system is creaking, it's beyond creaking, it's broken, and there's no effort to fix it. And if you question it, you try to be portrayed and you get the finger wagged. It was downright disparaging and offensive the way the Minister treated Deputy Nolan yesterday.
The question, I suppose, Paul McAuliffe, is whether we can cope with this. And there have been reports about the fact that there's been a 700% increase in arrivals from other countries outside of Ukraine into Ireland during the first 5 months of this year compared to last. So is it reasonable to have a discussion about how much we can cope with?
I think it absolutely is reasonable to have the discussion, and we also have to have the discussion about what happens if we close our doors. And those are two sides of the same coin. And see, what Matty is actually doing here is he's trying to pretend that the government doesn't care about the Irish people and that we want to be playing up to the big boys in Europe.
Actually,
what we're worrying about here is that there are children and women in tents, in temporary accommodation, in their millions, in Poland, in all of the countries that border the eastern part of our country. And we're not prepared to leave those people there. And we're not prepared to leave other European countries burden all of the burden of it. It's not that we don't care about Irish people. That's the reason why every politician in the Dáil gets up every morning and goes into the Dáil. We want to deliver for the Irish people. But the question for Matty is, what's the alternative? And you're not telling me, Matty. What do we do with the 6 and 7 year olds that are on the Polish border?
Where's the care when we have carers obviously protesting, when we have preschools and play school children who are being literally slave labour almost? So look, don't pretend you care. You want to pretend in order to get a big job for Deputy Martin when he hands over his Taoiseach in Europe, you're playing up to your European friends. Other countries have taken a much more cautious approach here, and they have been badly burned in the past, and they know what's going on. Other countries are the same with the gas and oil. They're not turning it off. They're playing the game that they are, but they're still keeping keeping the lights on. We don't care if we've been in the dark here, according to what your policies are. You have no policies. They're failed and defunct. The only policy you have at the moment is supporting the hotel chains that were friends of Fianna Fáil always.
And you see,
let people sleep on the floor there in hotels.
You have to let me respond to that.
No, I will, absolutely, yeah. Because I think, you know, making a point about hoteliers being friends with Fianna Fáil is below the belt, to be quite honest.
How far below the belt is it? That's a common fact, unfortunately. Some hotels, I said, history is there.
Matty, give him a chance to come back.
There are listeners out there, and they're listening to what Matty's saying. And Matty actually isn't talking about immigration. He's using the issue of immigration to bash the government. All of his contributions are about, you know, internal Fianna Fáil stuff, all of that rubbish. This is not about any of those things. It's not about politics. It's about responding to the needs of people in the best way that we can.
But you're not doing that in the health service, in the caring, and do you not believe
that people migrating to this country might actually be carers? They might be the people that we're short, that we have the shortage of labour for.
And we look forward to that day, and we look forward to integrating them and giving them mental health services of the need and supports and counselling.
But they can be the people providing the service.
We can't flood the place with 1,500 a month, not from Ukraine, coming in here. So, I mean, we have to be somewhere sensible here. But Matty, do a straw poll, meet anyone on the street, they'll tell you. They're sick and tired of this pious platitudes from the government. They can't put food on the table. They can't put fuel in their cars. They can't fill their oil tanks.
Matty, you're being hypocritical.
You can be like Ray Buck style, Rambo.
There's another one, Claire. There's another one.
Anybody? Well, that's what's happening. It's a shameful attempt
to use an important issue to get votes for you. And it's shocking. And
talk down to anybody who wants to question you.
All right.
You can't ask a question.
I can answer any question.
We're asking the questions here this morning, but can I ask you, Paul McAuliffe, about the temporary protection directive that the Ukrainians are coming to Ireland under this EU directive? And when Matty's talking about caps, do we have the capacity to cap the numbers in Ireland under that directive?
Well, like the first point I'd like to make clear is that Matty talks about us having shortage of people and lots of service provisions. People coming to this country, they're not just looking for their care. They can be the carers. They can be consultants. They can be engineers. They can contribute to the shortage that we have in many of our recruitment areas. And I think the idea of painting them as somebody who's going to just take from the country is part of the problem.
I didn't do that.
Well, Matty, that's what I heard. And I think that's what many of your listeners will have heard as well.
I said we should look after the people we bring in. By all means, if we can integrate them into work and into skilled positions, it would be wonderful, because we're such a shortage of everybody. Yeah. But so I never said that. Don't try and portray me as saying that.
Can I ask you, you mentioned the EU's position on the Russian oil and gas, and you don't believe that we should have agreed to the latest round of sanctions. Is that right?
I don't believe that our T-shirt should be first on the queue. Cheerleading for this. We're supposed to be a neutral country. Yet we had a warship parked up around Cork Port and the Keys there for 10 days recently. Are we neutral or are we not? We should be doing our best as a neutral country to try and get peace and get a solution here, not, as I said, sanctions here and sanctions there, and being cheerleading for them. Other countries are more prudent. They're trying to make sure that they have reserves.
We're hungry.
Well, Hungary is one of them, and they want to keep their lights on. They want to keep their industry going.
Seriously? Are you saying that we align ourselves against the rest of the EU with Hungary?
No, I do not. I don't put words in my mouth. I'm saying other countries have been prudent.
You said it.
Looking after their people. You said align ourselves with Hungary. There are many other. Germany learned the lesson by open borders when Angela Merkel wanted Labour. She learned the costly lesson. So look, we have to cut a cloth according to measure. And don't mind this PC crack that we can't even ask. What are we all supposed to see? Mute people going around and say, do what you like with us and give us more austerity measures and give us no houses, give us no jobs, give us no food on the table. What's going on here? And we won't be stopped.
Paul, the reason, one of the likely reasons that questions like this are being asked in the Dáil is because of the cost of living crisis and people under huge pressure. And we know from your government colleagues that there's no help coming until October. Isn't that right?
Yeah, and look, the issue of fuel, I think it's going to become more acute as we head into the winter. The question is, are we willing to put Russian oil and gas into the homes, into our homes, to heat our homes, and to put money in return into the hands of Putin so that he can bomb Ukraine? That's the connection.
We'll take it off some other dictator and it'll be fine. Once we won't know, we'll take it off of Libya or someplace or some other countries, and there's no problem. Look, we're playing games here, and the Irish people are wide awake to what's going on. We're stopping it from one dictator, as horrible and all of that heinous that war is, and we're taking it from other dubious sources, dubious for many reasons that are dubious, and we're taking it, if they give it to us, that'll be, and we won't explore our own oil off the coast, our own gas. So look, this thing is...
But you're Maddie, the answer to all of that...
Adding up to a mighty crash.
Maddie, the answer to all of that is for Ireland to be energy independent, for us to have renewable sources of energy, to have offshore wind, but you're against all of that, and you think the green agenda is a conspiracy too.
Don't do a Rambo effort now again on this and time talk me down. I'm not against wind energy. I'm all for renewables. But we need time to get these into our homes, into our industry. And in the interim, I want to keep the lights on, keep the power. We've had 8 amber alerts in the country in the last 18 months or 2 years. Okay. We know we're living by the skin of our teeth surviving. We need to examine whatever resources we can ourselves, and we need to feed our people and give them some bit of respect.
Paul, just one other matter I wanted to ask you about. You're quoted in the Ireland edition of the Times this morning saying the Taoiseach should be more careful about speculating about when the government would take action to help ease the cost of living crisis for people. What's your issue there?
Well, look, I think the cost of living crisis is the biggest issue facing the current government. It's the biggest issue facing every family and every home. And it's really important that when government are responding, and we've had very significant responses, more than €2.5 billion that's been put into people's pockets, that we have a coherent approach across all of government. You know, there have been times in the past, particularly during COVID, where different ministers had said different things in advance. My view is that the government have made a decision. We believe that the winter is going to be a really difficult time for people, and that's when we want to make an intervention.
What's he said that's upset you?
Welcome to reality.
Well, look, every party, and particularly party leaders, have a right to float ideas that are independent of government for their own party's perspective. I have no difficulty with that. I think members of government.
I just would like to know what Leo Varadkar said that you found unhelpful.
No, well, I was asked the question. Was it helpful for government ministers to be out speculating about whether there should be budgets in advance? Leo Varadkar yesterday, I think, said very clearly that there wasn't going to be an intervention. That's what we need to do now. We need to allow the measures which we've already implemented.
And so there's a huge amount. You agree with
them? I do agree. And I want the government to work together as a team rather than us speculating, because people are desperate, Claire. It's not fair to dangle.
Final word, Claire, please.
Really quickly now.
Yeah, what Paul is at here, Deputy, is the cracks in the coalition are becoming craters. They're sticking together to save their souls. Paul here isn't floating anybody's boat. What he's talking about. The people know what's going on. They can see with their eyes closed what's going on.
All right, Matty, we've got to leave it
there. You're leaving children on boats, Matty.
Paul McAuliffe and Matty McGrath, thank you for joining us. We'll take a break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.